Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. We talk anything and everything about Baltimore Ravens football. It's a podcast about your Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens. Thank you for joining on iTunes and Stitcher. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Hey, Brandon. It's bye week. We finally reached it, right? What are we going to do without any Ravens football on Sunday?
It's not going to be. It's going to be a sad Sunday where you got plenty of stuff you can do. You've been neglecting any household chores. This is the week to do them. But let's talk about Steelers Hate Week of last week. Didn't turn out the way we had hoped. To me, the team looked like the team pretty much just gave up towards the end there, and that they weren't even trying to win. In the fourth quarter. So, Josh, let's talk about this. Here we have, a lot of people in Baltimore making fun of the Steelers, being 0-3, 0-4. We had a few jokes, but here they come, and they beat us. Were they the better team last Sunday?
Better team, yeah. I mean, they were on Sunday, and I got to say, Steelers fans, you got the last laugh this week. We'll see you on Turkey Day in Baltimore. But what a heartbreaker. I mean, I hate losing to these guys. I mean, any loss is tough. But if you look at the scoop of things, and I'll break down a game in a minute, but just, Brandon, just level with me here. If you look at the losses, because we have four losses, three wins, seven games. Other than the bad second half against Denver, and we got our doors blown off, we got kicked around, whatever. We've lost the last three losses. We have four losses, we got blown at Denver. The next three losses we've had a combined 7 points total. Wrap your mind around that. All right, we lost by three in Buffalo. We lost by two at home to Green Bay, and we just lost by three in Pittsburgh. 7 points. This team could be on the cusp of a 5-2 record, a 6-1 record, but we're 3-4. So, guys, we can't really hang our heads, can we? I mean, it sucks, yes. Does it make you grind your teeth? Yes, because we know we can do better. I mean, Flacco, we have five turnovers and two of them were tipped past. I mean, you have five interceptions against the Bills and we could have had a chance to win the game. One or two little plays against Green Bay, we could have won the game. And at Pittsburgh, we do one or two things differently there, we could have won the game. So it's just, oh my God, it's just disheartening. I mean, to lose to your bitter division rival, they're 1-4. To put them at 1-5 would have been sweet. To be above 500. Now we're sitting in an awkward spot we've never been before in the last 5 years. Under 500 through seven games in the Harbaugh era, we're not used to this. And obviously, I would say I'm spoiled because I'm enjoying this. I enjoy the success of the Ravens because, as we know, with success comes failure. We've had a great run. And I'm not talking in past tense, Brandon and ladies and gentlemen. Like this run's over. What I want to get down to is, in the last 5 years, we made the playoffs every year. We made the last Elite Eight in the NFL. We've been the Final Four three times in the AFC title game, the Final Four in the NFL, Final Two in the AFC. We made a Super Bowl appearance, let alone won that Super Bowl last year. What more could we ask for? Joe Flacco MVP, Ray Lewis gets his second ring, goes out on top, every got a ring, so it's got a ring. Everybody gets rings. Our second one in Baltimore in the last 17 years. Yes, we're 3-4, but with some minute details that can be easily fixed. I really can't wait to see what the game plan is in the second half of the game, the season, I'd rather say. But at 3-4, I mean, this team looks like an 8-8 team. But to get it in gear, the Bengals are 5-2. The next two games are against AFC North opponents, and then away against Chicago. And Chicago's without Jay Cutler, they're reeling. So we could have the next three games won. So if you look at that, hey, we could easily turn around and be 6-4, not to count the chickens before they hatch. But again, Brandon, you know, I know I'm ranting, but I we're all upset, we're all frustrated, we know that. So I kind of want to offer my insight on that. That's what I take away from what I see so far. I mean, what do you got to input?
This is a very different team than what we've expected the last few years. I think as Baltimore Ravens fans, we are kind of spoiled, and we think that the playoffs are a given every year, and they're not. I mean, that's very evident right now. It's very evident that it's very hard to defend a Super Bowl championship, because you have a lot of guys that have to go on to other teams and have bigger price tags. But I'm still very much a fan of this team. I'm still very proud of this team. There are definitely kinks in the armor here, and they've got a lot of work to do. This is not the season's not over for the Ravens, and we're at the bye week, so now you've got time to think what do they do next. And I think they have made some moves already, but I want to talk real quick about what Terrell Suggs had to say after the Steelers game, saying it's a state of emergency now. Now, John Harbaugh came out and said, no, it's not a state of emergency. We do have some things to fix, and we're going to work on that, but it's not a state of emergency.
Of course you would say that.
Right. I personally would just want to say I'm a huge fan of John Harbaugh. I think he has done a tremendous amount of great work with this team. He's done a lot of great work in the community of Baltimore, and everything that he always puts his mind to, he kind of gets done. But this Steelers loss, I gotta put it on him and his staff. I think we have a lot of talented players on here. We've got Joe Flacco, who's an amazing quarterback. We have Torrey Smith, who is one of the best receivers in the league. And we've got Elvis Dumervil, and we've got Terrell Suggs and Art Jones. We've got all these defensive powerhouses. We got young guys like Marlon Brown who are showing up and playing. So the talent is there. The talent is absolutely on this team. We did lose a lot of guys last year, and it was a great Super Bowl team. But I think that they did the coaching staff at least did the job here, and they filled those holes and were able to get like leadership in the locker room and to get people to fill the holes that after people had left. I think they did a good job there. But for some reason, this coaching staff seems to not know who this team is. I think that the coaching staff right now for this first half, they've got to be the ones answering a lot of questions. Ray Rice and the running game not doing well. I don't think that's on Ray Rice. I think that's on the coaching staff for not knowing when to play him correctly. To me, it looks like the coaching staff of the Ravens is not doing their homework and not watching the tape from the team they're going to be facing close enough. I think that if everybody buckles down, the players and the staff, then this team can be a winning team again. Now, you know, we are 3-4 going into the bye week here, and that's something that the Ravens don't want to be a part of. They don't want to have a losing record going into the bye week, but that's the way it is right now. I think that this team definitely has to look at themselves, make sure that they have the right people in the right spots, and they're calling the right plays at the right time. But that Steelers game, at least, I don't know what you have to say about this, but John Harbaugh, he did have some questionable calls during that game. I don't know why, you know, he didn't, you know, try to ice their kicker at the end or whatever. Did he think the game was just over? There was no reason to even try to ice the kicker and not.
Yeah, Brandon, what was that? Like, when I heard, and I'm going to be honest with you, when that happened, because I thought it was a regular kickoff, I finally took a pit stop in the restrooms because I was just like, okay, they're going to kick it off. I hear all the fans groaning, like, what happened? And I thought we recovered a fumble, and then one of my guys, like, they once I kicked it, I said, what? And then what? And I couldn't believe when I saw the replay, I was like, the first thing out of my mouth was, we're not the New Orleans Saints. What is Harbaugh thinking? That is good. And everything you said, I agree with. But what, with relation to Harbaugh's coaching, why would he do what we do? I don't understand why an onside kick there was necessary. You're within a one possession game against your bitter rival away. You need this game, obviously. Both teams need it badly. Pittsburgh got it in the end. That was a call that I'll never, in my life, never understand. I mean, I'm still baffled. Obviously, to the past, we need to let it go. Loss is a loss, and we're going into our bye week and on to, you know, next week's game. But again, what's the point of an onside kick there? Yeah, you recover it, but it's not like we were down two scores and time was against us, and oh my God, we score, and we need a one-set kick and score again. I mean, did he not have confidence in the defense? I mean, to me, that's what that shows. It's, oh, our defense can't get them off the field on third down, so what we're going to do is a trick play. And then, of course, he justifies it by trying to say, oh, we saw something or what. He cut the crap. You know, that's what I don't like. It's, yes, he's a great coach, but most times he needs to just be honest. Look, I made a mistake. I goofed up. We called the play. It didn't work. You know, we should have just, you know, again, it was just ill-timed. And for me, I didn't like the call at all.
Yeah, I didn't understand a lot of the things. I mean, we're just talking about the onside kick, and we're talking about the field goal at the end. But there's a lot of things in this game that I didn't understand what Harbaugh was doing. Now, he's won a Super Bowl, so obviously he knows how to coach this team. I don't know if he's having trouble with, you know, with people under him and his staff, but that's where I think we really got to look. They can bring in different people. We'll talk about this, coming up, but Bryant McKinney, he's no longer a part of this team. He's in Miami.
That's right.
So obviously the staff thought that he wasn't doing the job he needed to do. And, all those problems that he had last season and everything, they kind of crept up on him again. So obviously they're making changes there, but maybe these player changes aren't the answer. Now, I Bryant McKinney does make sense because he wasn't getting the job done. But
I hope Sweepy joined him down in Miami.
Yeah, hopefully he took Sweepy with him. You know, didn't leave her in D.C. hanging.
There's,
you know,
there's two are a happy couple.
Yeah, she's got to get through college, so he's helping her out there. But I don't know. To me, I think the big move right now is coaching staff. What do they do? What do they do now? I mean, you know, week 9 last year, they got rid of Cam Cameron, and it seemed to really help the team out, and they kind of got a fire after he left. So is there another coach that they're going to let go at this point? I don't know. John Harbaugh just signed a huge contract at the beginning of this year, so of course he's sticking around. And he's a head coach, and I like what he does. But his staff just doesn't get this team, and I don't know why. Because it seems like they know a lot of the main players here and how they play, but I don't know why what they're calling isn't working.
No, you're right. What they're calling is not working. And interesting we bring up the coaching staff, because I've heard a lot of that sort of whispers of the local media, airwaves, and online media. You know, why Castillo's name has come up? And that's, you know, a guy who Harbaugh brought over from the Philly regime, and a lot, he's coming under fire. And then I've heard some people complain, oh, where's Caldwell's name in all this? Obviously, he's a coordinator off the offense. It's not really, I would say, obviously, we put the point fingers. Oh, the players don't work against, so let's blame Caldwell. Or let's blame Flacco. Or let's blame Rice. Obviously, the line's not blocking. Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce aren't getting through. I've had numerous talks with my dad, my friends. And what it comes down to is penetration. We're getting beat off the ball. If our guys can't hold the blocks and seal the edges or seal their block to allow the runner to get to the linebackers or the second tier, what happens is as soon as Ray Rice or Bernard gets the ball, they're being attacked in the backfield. What happens with Flacco? He's always under duress. I mean, I saw this in the Monday night game when one of the sloppy games we did with Giants and Vikings. The Vikings cannot block for Josh Freeman. Every pass, they were showing Josh Freeman get off his back. And he was just like, he looked like he was like, you know, WTF guy. Like, what's going on with him? Like, can you block? And I think what's come down to is, right now we're not getting penetration on our defensive front. We're not getting the holding the block and the defense is penetrating our offensive front. So maybe it's in the trenches because Flacco's weapons are fine. Cannon Doss has stepped up since he's been cut and brought back. He had a wake-up call. I've seen that Dixon catch passes. Dallas Clark's catch some passes. Marlon Brown and Torrey Smith obviously speak for themselves. And I don't see anything wrong with the scheme. Because, again, Ray Rice might be being dinged up. Bernard Pierce might be a big thing up. I don't think it's players. I think it's just the scheme. The game plan might be a little off. And maybe that's something they have to go back to the drawing board and say, well, we can do better. Because I know the players are grumbling when they were trying to change the run scheme, and the players wanted to get back to the team that won on the Super Bowl last year. And I think it's just, they're not liking, it's not that Harbaugh's his problem, they're not liking what so-called Pocketfield is calling, or they're not liking what the other coordinators and coaches are implementing. So I think Harbaugh has got to take this all by the whole, and maybe he has to implement his own scheme. But that's what I see going on. I mean, there's no mutiny, I don't think. You know, obviously we're not going that far. It's not players versus coaches and there's a riot. I just think that this team just needs to find a common ground, needs to agree on something. They need to go out and just execute the game plan. Stop bickering, stop nitpicking, and just go out and execute it, please. But I think right now, Brandon, it's something you said earlier. There's no, they didn't look like they wanted it. There's no urgency. It's like they quit. It's like they line up, they call a play, and then they execute the play that's called. Like Joe Flacco, first before getting to the Joe Flacco point, my dad said a point like this. And whether it's Peyton Manning's offense, whether it's that coordinator or that game plan, or whether it is Peyton Manning alone. Again, I'm not comparing, but I'm just showing you the minute differences. My dad broke this down. So I was about to say the Colts, but the Broncos call a play. And enough time to get Peyton Manning where there's still 20-something seconds on the play clock. If you watch a Broncos game, notice this. So it gives Peyton Manning time to get up to the line, assess the defense, and have two or three plays to go to. Sometimes he'll change it, sometimes he'll change it back. He changes one or two things. It's just a little chess game, and he beats the defense at their own game. Well, what happens with us, we take so much time to stand around, wait for the play call. We go to the line, it's called, we got 10 seconds left. Flacco's calling the snap call, we did it. And then he's looking at that one or two guy not checking his reads. It's almost like they're readable. Like on that third and one, I was like, oh, they're going to go to leash. They went to leash. I can just tell this is back coming from a few years ago where when we went 9-7, barely made the playoffs. They're becoming predictable. They're not shaking things up. They're not putting guys in motion. They're not running trips. They're not screening Torrey Smith across the middle to get him on open on slant road. They're being very mundane. And I'm noticing, and they need to get away from that or they're going to lose there from here on out. And, I mean, it's just plain Jane right there.
That's exactly what's going to happen. If they can't get together, if they don't want to play like they want it, then they're not going to get into the playoffs. They're not going to get to the Super Bowl. And they'll have a very short season this year. No one wants to see that. Everyone's a big Ravens fan. But they have time right now. And a lot of the guys are going home. And you can see what they're doing on Twitter and everything. But a lot of the players are at least, it looks like they're taking some downtime. They're regrouping. And they're getting ready for the rest of this season. And hopefully they'll be able to work out some kinks. And hopefully when they come back after this bye week, we'll see the Ravens of old, the Ravens that we know that can go out there and they can play a game with their heart and you know, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. And that's what they have to do here. I mean, go back to high school, stuff like that, and get your motivation that way. But hopefully... Hopefully when we're doing a show in 2 weeks, we're talking about a Ravens win after this bye week, and everything is the way it should be. But if they keep playing the way they played against the Steelers, this is definitely going to be a short season for us.
Short season indeed, Brandon. Speaking of short season, I did hear, and it was not confirmed definite target date, but that Dennis Pittman might not have a long off season. He might be quicker than expected back, and we did hear that they're targeting maybe the end of November, perhaps Thanksgiving night against the Steelers. Wouldn't that be great to get an upgrade in the offense and beat the Steelers at their own game on our turf come Turkey Day night? So that's a breath of fresh air for the Ravens, who, you know, obviously they've lost the last three or four. They need some hope because right now, like Suggs created a state of emergency, he stated, Drew on WSB.net saying how all hell's gonna break loose, the Ravens lose, and obviously, you know, me and him were joking back and forth saying, you know, is it loose now? Because, you know, we're starting to, you know, a little bit of panic here in Baltimore. We're shaking in our boots here. So, and I was joking, with my pastor this week. I said, obviously, you know, if we keep continuing the trend, I think, all the so-called fair weathers, we're going to be lined up on the Bay Bridge, because I think everybody's going to look like taking the plunge. But let's hold off on that. But let's see if Pitta comes back healthy and good. And I really can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, this team is a better team with Dennis Pitta, and there's been no bigger loss on this team this year that has been felt, that you know he's absolutely gone, like what's happened with Dennis Pitta this year. I mean, he's one of Flacco's favorites. I mean, he was Flacco's go-to guy. He was his security blanket. So the sooner this guy can come back, the better, and I think it's great the fact that they were saying he was going to be out a whole season. I mean, there was even some early talk of him maybe never playing again because he broke his hip. hip. But for him to be able to come back in mid to late November would be an amazing addition to the Ravens. Now, I don't want him to come back and rush it. I want him to take his time and make sure he's back for good, and I don't want him to re-injure himself. So they have to be very careful about how they're using him. I believe that he's cleared for some sort of practice right now. So he's at least getting a workout in and kind of getting back into football shape. But as long as he's healthy and as long as it's the doctors have given clearance, I say when Dennis Pitta is available, you put him on that field and get him ready, because this team is a better team with Dennis Pitta.
Absolutely, they are. I mean, it's going to be an upgrade in the offense. I really can't wait to see it happen. We've been hearing the whispers, but again, there's no target date. But again, if Pitta comes back, wow, it might be a boost, because we get more of the home games on the back end of the schedule again. The second half, I wouldn't say it seems favorable, but it could happen in our favor. Obviously, you look at with Chicago, they're reeling. Cleveland doesn't have Hoyer quarterbacks. Cincinnati's going to be a tough test, but at the home game, obviously, me and you, that's the next game. The call will be evading that game.
Yeah.
Me and you get to go, we get to go to Cincinnati, or Cincinnati comes here. I think, it sets up good for us in the second half. I think they need to get back, take it game by game, beat Cleveland in a week and a half, be on board at 4-4, another division win, be 2-1 in the division, and sweep Cleveland again. So I think it's possible. I really can't wait to see what happens. It sets up. It sets up. It's right there for the take. But if they want to prove it, they got to come out and at least, I said 2-1 in the next three games, or 3-3 and sweep the division games in the next three. They've already lost Pittsburgh, so we have to take the next two in a row and go 2-1 in those three divisional games spread. Then you got Chicago and the Jets, so that's two winnable games. Yeah, Chicago's on a row, but we're at Jay Cutler, and then the Jets at home. Geno Smith, rookie quarterback. I think if you look at the next four or five games, they could go 4-1. Yes, they could lose to Cincinnati, but they could go 3-1, 4-1. Obviously, the Vikings are reeling. They come to M&T Bank. We can beat the Vikings. Obviously, Adrian Peterson isn't having the year he planned to have last year. They're going through quarterback issues. So if you really break down the second half of the game, the season, I think other than the Bengals and maybe the Detroit Lions game away on Monday Night Football, obviously the Patriots are taking a step back. They've shown they're beatable. I mean, the Jets beat them in overtime. And we've had the Patriots number the last few seasons, and also with Tom Brady's weapons depleting. I know Gronk came back and had a 100-yard game, but, I mean, we've owned the Patriots that's here on a Sunday night late in the season, and then we go to Cincinnati. I think apart from Cincinnati and Detroit, maybe throw New England there, I see a big Navy, because even at 5-2, that's deceiving, because they could easily be around 500 or sub, because they got lucky on the game. Buffalo came back and lost. They came back and took the lead, and they won it again. So, again, I mean, they always say the devil's in the details. I mean, if you look at them, I mean, we could be a 1- or 2-loss team instead of 4 losses. The Patriots could be right at 500. The Patriots could be our record, and we could be theirs. We could be a 5-2, and they could be a 3-4. That's how the NFL is. I mean, obviously, the Giants finally got their first win on Monday night. It took them 7 weeks. So, I mean, hey, look at it this way. At least we have more wins than Pittsburgh and New York. So, I mean, hey, 3 wins, not where we wanted to be. Not where we envision, but I think going forward, I think we just need to get together, and I think they need a break, get a week away from the game, rejuvenate, and come back to work next week. And I think they just need to grind it out. Go, all right, we got the divisional opponent. They've got some weapons back with Josh Gordon, and I think, and obviously since they traded away Trent Richardson, they brought in a former Raven McGahee who's got some second wind on him. So I think it's going to be a big test up in Cleveland. But again, we have a late game next Sunday. It's another 4:30 game. We have a late afternoon game to get ready. So I really can't wait to get after next week. I mean, this week's going to be good to just relax, watch some good, wholesome football. You know, get to really watch all the NFL teams again, like we did back in Week 1 when we played on Thursday night. Just really take the time to reflect on, all right, where we want to be next week. Let's see if the Oakland Raiders can knock off Pittsburgh, because that's who the Steelers play. And I think the Browns, I have to look at the Bengals' schedule, but I think the Browns get, if I'm not mistaken, they get Green Bay. And I think Cincinnati gets Detroit, if I'm not mistaken. So I think, like I said, if I look at the schedule correctly, I don't have access to that green, but my apologies. But again, we just had to watch these games and scoreboard watch now because we're a game and a half out. The Bengals are 5-2. We're sitting at 3-4 tied with Cleveland, which is weird to say, but Cleveland is also 3-4. So depending on what Cleveland does this weekend, if they can either win and be 4-4 or 3-5, if they win this weekend, they're a dangerous 4-4 and we're 3-4. Next week is it. Next week's a must-win. If Cleveland wins on Sunday, it's do or die because do we want the Cleveland Browns to be above 500, above the standings, and we're two games under? I don't think so. That's going to be a salty taste in our mouth. So it's got to start. Got to start after the bye week. Second half of the season, man, we're already in week 8. It's depressing, bro.
it's depressing, even though we want to watch as much Ravens football as we can. But it is depressing when we get to that end of the season, and you're like, man, it's almost over. But yeah, these guys got to grind it out. And if there's one thing that I remember from watching the Super Bowl documentary, we were talking about Joe was talking to Harbaugh about what the Ravens had to do to win that game, and he just says, "We don't make it easy, do we?" And maybe that's just the theme for the rest of this season. They got to grind it out. They got to get those dirty – well, not dirty. You don't want to do dirty hits or anything, but you got to get those down and dirty hits. Not every pass is going to be a mile-high miracle. You got to make short passes. You got to make long passes. You just got to make plays. If they're not pretty, that is fine. If they look bad, that's fine as long as the plays are getting done because the offense has not been getting things done this season. So if Dennis Pitta comes back, that would be great. If Joe Flacco can get this team together and make this his offense once again, that's another plus here. But the rest of this season has to be dedicated to getting a rhythm down, and this offense can't go, three and out for the entire game like they have been doing. So they've got plenty of stuff to work on this bye week. Hopefully they'll be able to gather up their thoughts and get their minds right and get this thing going because they need to grind it out if they want to make this a longer season than what the original schedule that we've gotten. All of us have it on our phones. So they got a lot of work to do, and I don't think they'll be stopped, and I think they'll be able to get it done. But this is all on the Ravens right now, and they got to get it done. This is all on them. But I think we pretty much covered everything. Did we miss anything?
Not a chance, Brandon. Not a chance.
Sir. All right. Now, before we wrap everything up, we've got a new feature here on the call, and I'm hopefully going to be able to do this every week. The only way I can do this, though, is I absolutely need your help out there. So please help me out. What we want to do is we want to start including a song that gets you pumped up that is either about the Ravens or that you play at your tailgate or something like that. But again, since we are a podcast, we can't give stuff away for free. So it has to be a local artist. It has to be someone someone that you can help me get in contact with. But we want to feature a song about the Ravens or a song that helps you get pumped up for the Ravens, and we want it to be local artists because we want to feature people from right here in Baltimore. So as the inaugural first Ravens song of the week, we've got our good buddies, the Charm City Devils. Charm City right in their title, and we're going to cut to their song, Unstoppable. So this is the Charm City Devils with their song Unstoppable on the call. Turn it up! What's up, Ravens Nation? Now, it might be an away game. We're not coming from Lot H tonight. We are coming from my backyard in Baltimore City. And, of course, since it is game day Sunday, I'm going to need to make something for all of my friends coming over and get some tailgating food, even though we're not tailgating down at M&T Bank Stadium. So let me tell you what I'm cooking up today. I've decided to make a beer can chicken. And since it is the fall season, I decided to use Lancaster Brewing Baked Pumpkin Ale, sit the chicken on top of that, and then I liquefied some cranberry sauce, and every 15 to 20 minutes or so, I'm turning the chicken, and then I'm also putting the cranberry sauce over the chicken so it kind of marinates it as it cooks. Now, of course, this is a great fall food. Ravens Steelers coming up pretty soon. This is tailgating from my backyard, which... I miss Lot H. Back to the call. All right, welcome back to the call. I hope you enjoyed our Ravens Song of the Week and tailgating from Lot H. Plenty of ways to listen to the call. Let people know. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, and thecall.brandocash.com. Plenty of ways to listen. Doesn't matter if you have an iPad or an iPhone or a Droid or a Galaxy or a Kindle tablet. You can listen to us no matter what, no matter any kind of problems that you might have. Let people know about the call. Make sure you tell people on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram. Let them know that you're celebrating Purple Friday and that you're listening to the call to get yourself ready for some more Ravens football. That's what you got to do, man. If you want to talk more football with us, make sure you're tweeting to us. I am available on Twitter. Follow me at Brando Cash, and Josh, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you at?
They can always follow me at ItalianGQ52.
That's right. Make sure you also go to Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there, and we'll give you all kinds of information whenever there's a new show coming out. Also, like the Brando Cash Network, Facebook.com/BrandoCash. You'll get information about the call and what the puck if you're a Caps fan as well. So thank you so much for listening to the show. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Always, Brandon, as a pleasure this week, bye week. Again, it sucked losing to Pittsburgh, didn't it? But we're not down. We're resilient. We're Ravens fans. So we know what's ahead of us. It's going to be a long road because we're trying to dig a little hole for us. Brandon and folks, ladies and gentlemen, we got to rise up. Next week is it in Cleveland. In the dog pound, we got to go in. And with an AFC North victory, we need to come out with. So let's go. Instead of flying high this week, let's just lay a little low, enjoy the bye week. But next week, we're definitely going to start flying high because the second half of the season gets rolling, and we need to go. So let's go, Baltimore Ravens.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.